Your cappuccino's coming in just a sec.
I'm sitting in Cafe Artigiano in downtown Vancouver, pondering the world of coffee while I wait for my cappuccino. It's not going to be just any cappuccino. The foamy surface will have a delicate design poured on top. The baristas at this cafe are some of the best in the world at creating the most artistic cappuccinos and lattes. Coffee has come a long way over the years, and growing numbers of Canadians aren't content to simply swill down a double-double. Last week I talked about how important roasting is to making a good-tasting coffee. This week I'm learning about excellent espresso and latte art from Sammy Piccolo, three-time Canadian barista champion and three-time top three finisher in the World Barista Championships.
So I'm going to do our signature drink, which is a tall latte. It has 2 shots of espresso in an 8-ounce cup. We use fresh milk for every coffee. So this is our signature design that we do, that we've won most of our latte art competitions with. It's called a tulip. So I'm massaging the crema. Push that milk down till they get a white cloud. Move the jug from side to side, bring it back, and I'm gonna end it with a heart on top and follow through.
So how long did it take you to perfect something like that?
Well, my brother Vince says it takes about 8 gallons of milk to learn how to do it by yourself. So he figured it out after 8 gallons of milk. But now over the years that we've gotten better, you can get people pouring hearts in a couple days. But we don't usually like doing that. We like them to perfect the espresso machine, perfect the manual grinder, the automatic grinder, the system, the bar backing, and then from there we'll teach them how to pour. You know, you just don't go to the end of the pot at the end of the rainbow. You gotta work hard, and then from there, you know, you start pouring, you start talking to people, you move up from there. This is the most prestigious position in our cafe, working behind the bar.
While the art and flavor of coffee are important, there is a more serious side to the business. As coffee aficionados learn more about how and where beans are grown and sold, there's a greater demand for something called fair trade coffee, where the farmers are paid a set price for their coffee beans higher than the usual worldwide wholesale price. There is a certification process to ensure the fair trade goes beyond just price. Certified fair trade coffee means the entire lifestyle of the farmers and their families comes under consideration. But Vince Piccolo, Sammy's brother and manager of the coffee roasting company I featured last week, says he places more importance on paying a premium price for quality coffee than on a certified fair trade product.
I think the most important thing that a customer is looking for is a great quality, consistent product. When it comes to fair trade, that is important as well. It's not something that I have experienced customers asking. They do ask very, very small amount. We try to educate our customers by telling them that, you know, fair trade is about making sure that the farmers are paid well for a great product. We may not have every coffee as a fair trade coffee, but any coffee that we do carry is a fair trade coffee in a way that we buy coffee for a much higher price than any fair trade coffee that's on the market. We're looking for great quality coffees from the coffee producing nations, and we want to reward people who do excellence.
In my research, I found other roasters who think fair trade coffee is not the best way to go for farmers. Consider the Doi Chang Coffee Company. The farmers and villagers own 100% of the company in their native Thailand, and 50% of the Calgary-based roasting and distribution center. At a coffee and tea trade show, I met some of the key players, including Vichai Pramyak, the president of the Thai portion of the company, who told me his people have been much better off since they stopped growing opium and learned how to grow high-quality coffee for sale directly to consumers.
Well, we see things, you know, just, you can see it. Before, okay, even when we grew opium, we earned something like half an acre, we earned about $4,000 or $5,000. But now we grow coffee, we earn 10 times up, more than $40,000, right?
So it's obviously that wealth trickles down throughout the community.
There are young people quite lucky, though, that we have good friends all over like this.
One of those good friends is the Doi Chang coffee roaster, Sean McDonald.
Of course, I tried it, roasted it, and you know, I've roasted a lot of coffee over the years, so this stood out for me. Everything that they do over there, from the water that they use to process it to the soil, I mean, there's a lot of fruit and nuts that are growing amongst the trees. All those characteristics come down and get into the bean and into the cup. So, very interesting cup of coffee. We've tried it from a medium roast right through to a dark roast, and everybody loves it. And the dark side of things, it's a real winner, you know. So we, you know, it's the whole thing is very attractive because the quality that these people put into it, you know, and we're all kind of like in this ship together now.
The Doitang villagers not only grow the coffee with minimum impact on the environment, but they've also built their own processing plants, drying facilities, and storage warehouses. They say what they have goes far beyond the fair trade concept. There are many stories in the coffee world. You just need to look beyond the bottom of your cup. I'll have some links on my website for you to explore next time you're on a coffee break. That's Food for Thought. I'm Don Genova.
Don't take a picture of that one.
That's not too bad. What do you like? Do you like the art they have here?
Yeah, absolutely.